We're going to continue our study, our journey, an epic journey, in the book of Exodus. Today we're looking as Moses goes before Pharaoh. We'll be reading from Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and then we'll skip over to Exodus 6 and read verses 1 through 8. Would you stand with me as we read from the precious Word of God? Chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey him, that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go.'" Now chapter 6, verse 1. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land.' And God spoke to Moses and said to him, 'I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name Lord I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep under bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord.'" Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Joe Hogg, would you word our prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Today we reach a battle point, kind of the pinnacle of opposites here. We left last week, and Moses was coming to grips with God's call upon his life. God had revealed to Moses that you're the man. You're going to lead as I deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And Moses started out like probably many, if not all of us would. He started out with excuses and finding reasons why he was not the man for the job. He told God, "They won't listen to me." He told God that he wasn't a good public speaker. And finally he just said, "God, please get somebody else." God said, "I've chosen you." So Moses finally comes to grips with that call that God has upon his life to lead Israel out of Egyptian slavery. And he departs the mountain of God. Meets with the children of Israel, with the elders of Israel, and he's well received. When he told them that God had visited and that God had called him to deliver them out of Egyptian bondage, they were excited. As a matter of fact, Exodus chapter 4 verse 31 says, "So the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshiped." Now, we've reached that point of excitement. Moses is the man of God. He's confident. He's fired up about going before Pharaoh. The children of Israel are confident. They're fired up that their God has decided to deliver them from Egyptian captivity. And today we see Moses as he approaches Pharaoh as God's chosen man to deliver God's message to Pharaoh. And you know what he receives when he comes before Pharaoh? He basically receives an "I am Pharaoh." Now, I want you to understand, I repeat myself here, and I did it intentionally because I want you to get the idea. Point number one, I am Pharaoh. The first sub-point, point A, I am Pharaoh. You see, God had commanded Moses to give the message to Pharaoh. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that we may go worship in the wilderness. And just so you understand the strength of this command, Moses did not go before Pharaoh and politely request, oh dear Pharaoh, please let the children of Israel go. Moses didn't go before and say, Pharaoh, if you don't mind, will you please let the children of Israel go? Please, Pharaoh. No. He goes before Pharaoh in all the confidence and authorization of God Himself, and He delivers this message, let my people go. It's a command. It's a demand. And can you imagine, this is the most powerful man in the world. Moses, a nobody, walks up before him and says, God says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, what? What? You're talking to me? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I can do? I am Pharaoh. I am the man. There are people who consider me a god in this society. I'm the one that gives the orders. Who is this Lord that you're talking about? Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? I do not know your Lord, nor will I let Israel go. And when Pharaoh says, who is the Lord? He's not asking, wanting to know who the Lord is, okay? He's not wanting to find out information. He's challenging, who do you think you are? Then Pharaoh sets out to prove who he is. He sets out and he decides that they've come to this point because Israel has too much idle time. I give you a recap here of chapter 5, but what happens is Pharaoh decides that they're not working Israel hard enough and they have time to think about these things. And since they've had all this time to think about coming out from under Egyptian bondage, they approach him now with this demand. So Pharaoh says, I will show you. You have too much idle time. What we're going to do is we're going to take away the straw that you use to make brick for my cities. Now, you can't make brick without straw in that day, right? So Pharaoh says, you gather your own straw at night and when you're not making the brick, but you will continue to make the brick and you will not come up short in the tally. They had a quota that they had to meet every day. And so this was just amazing to Israel. What do you mean? No straw. We can't make bricks without straw. Pharaoh says, you had too much idle time. That's why you approach me with such things, silly things as this. You just work all night. Work all day. Get the job done, but do not let the quota fall. So, of course, they didn't make their quota. Right? And of course, the taskmasters begin to beat the children of Israel because they fell behind and Israel didn't understand. And so the elders of Israel approach Pharaoh again and says, and to ask him, what are you doing? We can't make brick without straw. And Pharaoh just reemphasizes, you have too much idle time. Make the brick. Make the brick. Gather your own straw. But the bottom line was this. His point was, I am Pharaoh, and you do not tell me what to do. I'm the one that makes the rules. I am the one who decides. You know what he had? He had a Pharaoh complex. I want you to think about this just a minute. I mean, I can just see him with this attitude of you can't tell me what to do. But I also see what I've entitled the Pharaoh complex as being very common in society today. Have you ever heard people say you can't tell me what to do? I love it when children, when little, even little children, they will look at some adults and say, "You're not the boss of me." You ever seen that? Don't you, when they do that, don't you think, oh, they are so sweet. You just want to hug them, don't you? And just love them to death. Oh, you want to rip that belt off and wear them out, don't you? You know? It's just absolute stubbornness. I can only imagine if I told my dad that. I would not stand before you today. I would be dead and buried. But it's the Pharaoh complex. Who are you to judge me? Who are you to tell me right from wrong? You know, I look at the world today, and the stand that the world takes of accepting sin in general. You know, they have the attitude that when we preach the Word of God and we make such statements as, or we preach the Word and talk about immorality and homosexuality and same-sex marriage, and they back up and say, "Who are you to judge me? Who are you to say that my lifestyle is wrong?" And it's not just homosexuality, it's immorality in general, period. The world takes that Pharaoh complex to heart and just shuts the door on the Word of God. As we preach the message of salvation, I wonder how many have sat through service after service, knowing under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and realizing that if they were to die today, that they would not go to heaven because they've never had that personal salvation experience with Jesus Christ. But they've heard it time and time again, and they sit there very rebellious and say, "You can't tell me how to run my life." I've even seen it among saved people. I've seen saved people that the church would say would do church discipline, and listen, church discipline is right. It is biblical. It is taught by the Bible. And if we fail in that, we have not lived by the Word of God. But quite often in those matters of church discipline, when people take that road that is not acceptable in the Word of God, and the church goes to him and says, "Look, you're in violation of the Word of God," and they often back up and say, "Who do you think you are? Judging me? Why, do you know what everybody else in that church is doing? I'm not the only one that's doing wrong, and besides, you're not supposed to judge people anyway. Listen to me. If we're preaching the Word of God, it's not our judgment, it's God's." Okay? But what I want you to grab hold of here is this idea, this natural tendency that we have to just bow up and say, "Do you know who I am? I will do what I want to do. I will be what I want to be." And what's really sad is when people set out to prove they can do what they want to. You ever seen a child rebel against his parents? Parents preach and teach all that child's life, and they get to that point that they're going to show mom and daddy they're the boss. How sad. How sad. Because the reality of that is, mom and dad has been teaching that child for so long only because they love and care for that child. And they're saying, "Don't destroy yourself." When we preach the Word of God, that's what we're saying as a church. That we love you and we care enough to share with you what God has for your life and what God has for everyone's life. Don't ruin it. Don't take the Pharaoh complex to heart and say, "I'll do what I want to do." Because that's very, very dangerous ground. And the reason it's so dangerous is because the Lord is the Lord. You see, in the first part of chapter 5, Pharaoh backs up and says, "I'm Pharaoh." But then in the first part of chapter 6, God says, "I am the Lord." No matter how big you think you are, No matter how tough you think you are, you're not greater than God. You see, Moses here, we're at that point, and Pharaoh has now made the life of the Egyptians just unbearable. It's now really harsh. And after the elders of Israel come out from meeting with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's told them about, y'all are too idle, you make your bricks and without straw, Moses is waiting outside to greet him in the last part of chapter 5, first part of chapter 6. And they attack Moses. They say, Moses, you're the one that has done this. You've made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh. You have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Moses, things are getting worse instead of better. And Moses, it's all your fault. And Moses is kind of downhearted here. And I understand, you know, sometimes it is downhearted. It is discouraging to take a stand and watch as a rebellious world fights against you. But Moses, after receiving the blame from the elders of Israel, Moses hits his knees. And you can see the discouragement in his prayer. He said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Lord, why is it you've sent me? Lord, since I came, Pharaoh has done nothing but evil to this people. And neither have you delivered your people at all. God, it's only getting worse. I've done no good. And then God responds. And we see God's determination to be who He is. God says, you see, God says, Moses, let me tell you something. Let's talk. Let's talk. Moses, to this time, I have been known as God Almighty. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those guys, they knew me as El Shaddai. Almighty God, the one that can do anything, the one of great power, the one that's the creator of all things. But now, Moses, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take this relationship to a new level. We're going to get personal. No longer are you going to know me as El Shaddai. Moses, you're going to know me as the Lord, or Jehovah God, or Yahweh in Hebrew. And he says, literally, you've left chapter 5 with Pharaoh saying, who is the Lord that I should obey Him? And in chapter 6, you have the Lord saying, my name is Yahweh, Jehovah God. That's who I am. And he's getting personal, because see, what this name is, it's His proper name. For example, if I come up to you, I'm introduced to you as the pastor of Victory Baptist Church, and that I am, but there's not a relationship there. But when I come up to you and I say, I'm Doug Hambrick, that's my name. That's who I am. It gets personal, you see? Here, what God is doing, He's not only sharing that I am God, we're about to get personal. You're going to know me by my name. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? No more is He just Almighty God that can defeat all enemies. Now He's Jehovah God, the personal God. And not only is He a personal God, but He's a personal God who has chosen Israel to be His chosen people. He's saying, my name is Yahweh. And now you're going to see what I am about to do. And when I am finished, Pharaoh will not just let you go. He will drive you out with a strong hand. He will know who I am. I want to tell you something. As I said, this Pharaoh complex is very dangerous ground, because you're not taking a stand against a church. You're not taking a stand against a pastor. You're not taking a stand against your parents. You're not taking a stand against anybody except God Himself. When you refuse God's direction, It's serious ground, my friends. Because He is the Lord. And He repeats that, I am the Lord. He repeats that 6 times. And He goes on. He wanted, in verse 6 of chapter 6, He starts. He says, I am the Lord. I will bring you out. I will rescue you. I will redeem you. And the interesting part about that is in the Hebrew, it's not future tense. He's not saying, I will. He's saying, I have in the Hebrew. As a matter of fact, it's as if He's already done it. And we could translate it like this. I will bring, or I have brought you out. I have rescued you. I have redeemed you. Why? Because I am the Lord and you are my people and we are in a personal relationship and you do not treat my people that way. You see, another thing I want you to get today is how God feels about His children, His chosen people. And I understand Israel has a special place, okay, with God. But we're living in the New Testament age also. And now, in being a child of God, God still has that kind of mentality toward His children. Do you understand how God feels about you? Do you understand that He, you know, and we say this all the time, I know God loves me. Do you? Do you really know? As a parent, what is one of the worst things that can happen to you? If somebody messes with your children, right? Well, as God, one of the things that He allows us to go through torture and hard times sometimes, but never forget, there always comes the time when God is personal and He says, that's my child and you do not do them that way. Oh, I'm glad to know Him today as the personal God who says, I am the Lord and I have brought you out. I have rescued you. I have redeemed you. Then in verse 7 He said, I am the Lord. I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. And you will know that I am the Lord your God. Notice the your. You see the relationship there? They belong to the Lord. Now I want to get up close and personal. Do you belong to Jesus? I realize that the common accepted thing today is it doesn't matter what religion you are and we just all work it out and we're all trying to get to heaven. I want to tell you the Bible truth is the only way to heaven is Jesus Christ. You can waste your time with all this other Middle Eastern religion and all that garbage. But listen, if you want to go to heaven, there's one way and that's Jesus Christ. And if you've never made a personal commitment to Him, if you've never called upon Him for salvation, you can go to church all you want to. You can be as good a person as you can possibly be. But I'll promise you this, everyone sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're not good enough to go to heaven. He is the Lord. Have you dealt with Him on a personal level? He said, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord and I will bring you to the land. I will give it to you. I've got a better place for you than being slaves to Egypt. Do you realize? That's what this series is about. It's about moving to a better place. For us to... And I want you to understand, it's a shame that so many Christians are the same today as they were 5 years ago. Not growing, not studying, not growing in our relationship with Christ. How sad is that? That's not what God has for us. God is leading us to a better state. And I'm not talking about heaven, I'm talking about here now. Are you ready to go? First thing you've got to understand, if you're going to move into that better relationship, is that He is the Lord. He's the Lord, which means He's the boss. He has the right to tell you yes. He has the right to tell you no. He has the right to direct your path. He has the right to open doors. He has the right to close doors. He is the Lord. Have you come to grips with that? See, right now where we come to is the question, who are you? Pharaoh said, I'm Pharaoh. God said, I am the Lord. Where does that leave you? Are you a child of God? You can sit here today and be a Pharaoh. You can't tell me what to do if you want. But God's still going to be God, saying, I'm the Lord. I'm the one who created it. I'm the one who sustains it. And I'm the one who wants a personal relationship with you. Now, who are you? You know who I am? I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Because nothing that I did of myself, but I called upon Jesus, who died for my sins, who died so that I could live. One day in a little church, got down on my knees, revival services, and I called to Jesus. Asked Him to save me. You know what? I got up a new creation in Christ Jesus. Who are you? Who are you? See, you got to deal with this. How are you going to deal with it? Are you going to be rebellious? Or are you going to say, I choose Jesus? See, Jesus chose you a long time ago. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Everybody who's lost. That means for you that are sitting here today that think you're the worst of the worst and the baddest of the bad, don't think that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Jesus can save you. My friends, have you made that personal commitment to Christ? We're going to come to an invitation and it's going to be decision time for you. You can sit there and you can cross your arms and say, you can't tell me what to do, preacher. You're right. Listen, I'll just leave you with this. I don't want to tell you what to do. I want to care enough about you to tell you the truth. That is, without Jesus, there is no life. We're going to have this verse of invitation and I'm going to ask you to decide, where do you fall in to this relationship thing? Are you on the rebellion side? Or are you on the child of God side? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for eternal life. For dying for us. That through Your sacrifice, Lord, all who call upon You are saved. And I pray, Lord, that in this service today, You know our hearts. And You know those of us who are being rebellious and just refusing and with the attitude of, I'll do what I want to do. Lord, we also know that You are the Lord, the personal Savior, the great God. And so today I pray for those who are lost, that this will be the day, this will be the service, this will be the time that they step out and stop their rebellion and call upon You, making You the Lord of their life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.